Psalm chapter 25, and by now you know that we've been in the middle of a sermon series. I think this is about the sixth week that we've been in this sermon series, and you can see the title right here. It's called Breaking the Chains, and you can see what we're going to talk about today, can't you? We are going to talk about loneliness, breaking the chains of loneliness. And as we talk about this message and as we dig into Psalm 25 this morning, loneliness is probably something that you're very familiar with today. There are so many people that feel isolated, feel like they're all by themselves. Sometimes it's difficult to have visitors in today's world. And so loneliness is definitely a timely topic for discussion. As we think about loneliness today, there are more lonely than ever. All those social platforms that we have, and one of them we're using today, Facebook Live. We have Facebook, we have YouTube, we have Instagram, we have TikTok. I'm not familiar with that one, but I've heard about it. And with all these social platforms that we know about, we still are embraced by so much loneliness. So social platforms alone don't do anything really to help us in our loneliness. Sometimes loneliness comes from the fact that we are isolated. Sometimes loneliness comes from the fact that maybe it's an emotional struggle. Sometimes you can be in a crowd with lots of people, and how many of you know you can still be lonely? So loneliness doesn't necessarily mean the number of people we're around. Sometimes loneliness is just in our hearts. But God doesn't want us to be lonely, and He's made a way so that we don't have to be lonely. Here's something I found, and it's from a book from Max Lucado, and it's called You Are Never Alone. And it's actually one of his new books because it just came out in 2020. And here's what he says. He talks about the cost of loneliness. Let me read just a short quote from the book. It says, administrators of one of the largest hospitals in America cite loneliness as a major reason for overcrowded emergency rooms. Parkland Hospital of Dallas, Texas, made this startling discovery as they were looking for ways to unclog the system. They analyzed the data and compiled a list of high utilizers. They identified, now this is going to be a surprising number, they identified 80 patients who went to the four emergency rooms over 5,000 times in a 12-month period. That's a lot. And it cost the hospitals about $14 million. Once they identified the names of these repeat visitors, they commissioned teams to meet with them and determine the reason. Their conclusion, you want to guess? Loneliness. Their conclusion was loneliness. Poverty and food shortage were contributing factors, but the number one determinant was a sense of isolation. The ER provided attention, kindness, and care. Hence the multiple return visits. They just wanted to know that somebody cared. Isn't that amazing and startling? We definitely do live in a world where people are thirsty, they're hungry, and they're hungry for companionship. They're hungry to know that there's somebody out there that cares about them. And don't you know, today we've got lots of medical workers and first responders and emergency workers that definitely care for their patients. Today we're going to talk about overcoming loneliness. Won't you join me in Psalm 25? We're just going to look at seven verses starting in verse 16. Psalm 25 beginning in verse 16. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased, and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame. For I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem, O Israel, my God, from all their troubles. Won't you join me in one short prayer one more time this morning? Dear Father, we thank you for being able to look at this psalm together, to be able to hear your word through your servant David. Lord, we know that many of us are struggling with loneliness today. Lord, we pray that you, through the work of your Holy Spirit, would break the chains of loneliness in our lives. Help us, Lord, to know that you are always with us. Help us, Lord, to be reminded that you love us. And help us, Lord, to be filled with your joy and peace that can only come from you. Speak to our hearts and challenge us as we discover how we can break the chains of loneliness in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think about overcoming loneliness today, the first point on my outline, and hopefully your outline as well today, is crying out in the midst of the storm. We can cry out in the midst of the storm. First of all, we have the opportunity to pray to the one who truly cares. We can pray to the one who truly cares. As we mentioned a moment ago, this psalm was written by David, the shepherd boy who became king. We all know about David. He was definitely open-hearted with his feelings. You might say he was one of those men, maybe a rarity, that was in touch with his feelings. And we can see those feelings displayed in at least 75 of the 150 psalms that we have in the book of Psalms. We see a wide range of emotions. Emotions from David being extremely worshipful to God. Emotions from David being angry and judgmental, praying that God would take vengeance upon his enemies. When's the last time you prayed a prayer like that? We also see desperate struggles that David was in the midst of, praying, crying out to God for some relief and some deliverance. And we also see, as we see in this passage today, we see that even in the midst of the hard times and the struggles, we see that David was hopeful. He was hopeful that God could deliver him, that God could meet those needs, whatever they might be. And so we see that David was open-hearted with his feelings. There was a right answer. There's always the right answer in the midst of our struggles, is to run to God in prayer. If you're trying to figure out, well, what's the first step? I'm going through a struggle today. It might not be loneliness. It might be something else. It's always a good idea to run to God. To run to God, because he is always the answer for our problems. You can see it in verse 16. Look at what he says. David crying out to God. And the first thing he says is, God, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Basically, David is saying, God, I'm going through a hard time right now. Look at me and see my pain. Look at me and see my pain. Loneliness oftentimes makes us feel like everyone has abandoned us. Did you ever feel like that? Did you ever feel like you were just all by yourself and nobody understood what you were going through? We all have. And that's what David was experiencing here. Loneliness often makes us feel like we're abandoned. And so here he cries out to God and says, God, be gracious to me. Be gracious to me. He's begging and pleading for God's grace. Not because he feels like he deserves it. Think of it this way. None of us deserve the grace of God. It's a gift. It's a gift and it's undeserved. That's why we call it grace. And so David is pleading for the grace of God to help him in his time of need. To help him overcome loneliness. Now we might be trying to figure out, well, we know that David's lonely. Wonder what David is going through as he writes these words. Well, it could be any number of things as we think about David's life. David spent a number of years on the run. People were trying to kill him, and he was on the run. He was on the run from the Philistines. The Philistines at that time were the arch enemies of Israel. He was on the run from his rival, King Saul. We all remember that as Saul with the whole Israelite army was out there looking for David because he was a rival. He considered David to be a threat to the kingdom. And then what about his own family? Some of you may have experienced this, where your own family seemed to have turned on you, or you felt betrayed. David experienced that. Three of his sons actually turned on their own father. In the pandemic that we're facing today, it definitely adds a lot to the loneliness that we, many of us, feel. The pandemic, social distancing, just the word itself talks a lot about loneliness, doesn't it? The fact that we can't get close to each other, which is what we long for. Social distancing. Many of you are staying home today or staying home, and many of you might be in elderly care homes or in places where you can't have a lot of visitors right now, all because of the pandemic that we're facing. And there is a lot of loneliness. Even before the pandemic, here's what I read from. It's actually an article, and it's called Loving My Actual Neighbor. It's written in 2019 by Alexandra Kolkendahl. I hope I got that last name right. But think about it. These words were actually written in 2019 before the pandemic even started. And so if it was bad back then, it's even worse today. Let me read some of the words that she wrote. Whether young or old, Americans are feeling more isolated than ever. Less than half of us have any real interaction with our neighbors on a regular basis. And it's no surprise, social media doesn't help the feelings of isolation. We can have serious fear of missing out when it seems like we aren't invited to the places that everybody else gets to go. Did you ever go on social media and see some of the vacations and some of the wonderful places that people go? Sometimes instead of, now we're supposed to be happy for them, aren't we? Right? Supposed to be happy and celebrate when somebody gets to enjoy something wonderful. But sometimes there's a part of us, if we're honest, that we're like, man, they seem to be on vacation all the time, enjoying things, and I'm just working hard. And maybe I'm the only one who feels that way sometimes. But sometimes instead of making us feel better, sometimes it can actually make us feel worse. Now, can I get an amen? Or are you going to leave me up here all by myself today? All right, I see some heads nodding, not much of an amen. All right, but it's no surprise that social media doesn't always help the feelings of isolation. Sometimes we can have serious fear of missing out when it seems that we aren't invited to the places that everyone else's go. The opposite is also true. When we replace a virtual meetings, by the way, there's lots of that today, with a real one, we can decrease our actual feelings of isolation. Now, that was written before the pandemic started. But, you know, sometimes virtual, in fact, I might say virtual is never as good as in person. Now, we know there's reasons for it today, and we do have to be careful, and sometimes we have to use a virtual option on occasion to keep everybody safe. But when we think about loneliness, it definitely adds to the feelings of being by ourselves, all right? And so it's definitely something we're dealing with today and we all struggle with. Let me remind you, the Lord cares. The Lord truly cares, and He is always full of compassion. And that's what David's crying out for today. He's crying out to God and say, Lord, let me feel Your compassion. Let me feel Your grace. Pray to the one who truly cares. Look at letter B. Persevere, knowing that God understands. Persevere, knowing that God understands. He says in these verses, he says he's afflicted. What does it mean to be afflicted? It means to have pain, suffering, distress, anguish. Some of you might be experiencing that today. But he's not only alone, but he's hurting. It's hard enough to be by yourself and feel like nobody understands and nobody cares. But when you're hurting in the midst of it, it just adds to the degree of pain and hurt. Sometimes it could be physical pain. Sometimes it could be emotional. Sometimes it could be social. So it comes in a variety of shapes. But did you know that we can be lonely in a crowded room? This might be surprising to some people, but you know, we've all been there, haven't we? Maybe when you're going through a struggle, and sometimes people will ask you, you know, well, how are you doing? And what do? You put on a big smile and you say, I am fine. I've never been better, right? But the truth is, you're broken inside. I've been there, right? But sometimes we just feel like nobody would want to listen to us. Nobody would understand what we're going through. And that can make us feel extremely lonely. Psalm 22, verse 1. We're going to be reminded here that God understands. These are some of the words that Jesus quoted while he was dying for the sins of the world on the cross of Calvary. Written by David, Psalm 22, verse 1. And you're going to know the words when I say them. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Jesus himself, when you're looking for somebody who understands, when we feel like we're all by ourselves, when it feels like everybody's run out on us and nobody understands the difficulties, don't you know Jesus understands? Because he felt it. He felt it. He was betrayed and he felt like he was all by himself. Verse 17 goes on, and as David writes, he says, look at it, in fact, Psalm 25, verse 17. David says, the troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Can't you feel the passion in his prayer? And he's basically crying out to God and saying, my struggles have multiplied. What does that mean? David felt like he was sinking deeper and deeper and deeper, and there was just more anxiety and more struggles and more pressure that just made him feel more alone than ever. He was heading down a road of despair, and he was crying out to God and saying, God, set me free. You know I'm on a downward spiral. I'm heading down. Can you save me? You know, he needed somebody to break the chains of despair and loneliness in his life. There's a beautiful song by Zach Williams called Chain Breaker. All right, kind of sounds like a sermon series that we're in the middle of, doesn't it? But here's some of the words from Zach Williams' song, which came out in 2016, and it definitely applies to what we're talking about today. If you've got pain, he's the pain taker. If you feel lost, he's the way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you've got chains, come on, help me out with the last part. He's the chain breaker. Amen. You know what? Some of you are struggling with loneliness today. You know what the Lord wants us to do? He wants us to run to him and realize that whatever it is we're going through, that loneliness, that emptiness, that feeling like nobody understands, I want to remind us all today that God is the chain breaker. He can break that chain. He can restore your joy and your peace. Crying out in the midst of the storms, that's the best thing we can do. Look at number two, claiming every promise of life. Claiming every promise of life. Letter A, no regrets can hold us back. No regrets can hold us back. Look at what he says in verse 18. He says, look upon my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. Now, he uses the word look upon here, and this is the same Hebrew word that we're going to run into when we get to verse 19 as well. It's the same word. You know what it means? It means to see with complete understanding. And don't you know God is omnipresent? He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. And when God sees us, don't you know he just doesn't see part of the story, but he sees everything that we're going through? He sees us all, and he knows us. And the amazing thing is he loves us anyway. And so David is asking God to see with complete understanding. God, he says, you know my every trouble. God, you see my every tear that I cry. You know, in the middle of the night sometimes when you're just overwhelmed, and sometimes you might shed some tears as you're thinking about the struggles and the problems and the difficulties and the loneliness. Don't you know God sees those tears? God knows. God understands. And David's just asking God to make sure he sees and knows him. And he asked God to take away, in other words, something that's weighing heavy on David's heart. Now, I think you're going to like this part. The word takeaway, when I saw it there, I did a little looking into it. And the Hebrew word here is actually the word nakah. And I'm sharing it with you for a reason. It's the same word that's used to carry away or to forgive. And it's the same word that we find in Leviticus chapter 16. The Hebrew people had a special feast that they just celebrated at the end of September called the Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, they would have two goats. One would be sacrificed and the blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat for the sins of the whole nation. You remember what they did with the other goat? The priest, the high priest, would lay his hands on what they called the scapegoat, confess all the sins of the nation on the scapegoat, and then the scapegoat would carry the sins of the Hebrew people out in the wilderness to never return again. And the one who led this goat out into the wilderness made sure that the goat would never return again. You know, that's what David is crying out here. He's saying, God, take away my sins. But don't just take them away for a season. Take them away completely to never return again. The word is nakah. The fact that he wanted God to take his sins away and he wanted them never to come up in his life again. Remove from me my sins, the offense, and it's a penalty, and the penalty for my sins. Now listen to this. This is where I want to spend a little time with you this morning, because this is something that can definitely make us lonely. David was asking God more than just to forgive his sin, but to remove the very memory of his sin. Now, those of you who know your Bibles today and know a little bit about David, how many of you know David had some sins? David had some regrets. Some of the pain that David experienced was because of some of the foolish mistakes he made. Now, he did a lot of great things too, but he had some low points in his life. You know what I think David was asking God for here? I've got some regrets, God, and they just keep on coming up to my mind. And when that happens, I feel more alone than I've ever felt before. You ever have any regrets? Ever have anything that keeps on coming up? And by the way, the enemy loves to do that to you. He loves to bring up our mistakes and our shortcomings. And when you feel like you're by yourself and nobody understands, the last thing we need to have in our life to add to that is the feeling of regret. David says, remove my guilt, and Lord, restore my peace to me. You know, if you've got some regrets in your life, here's what you do. You lay them at the feet of the cross. You ask Jesus for his forgiveness and ask him to cleanse you and forgive you. And then you get up and you walk away and you say, they're done with. They're done with. And anytime the enemy brings up those regrets in order to try and tear us apart inside, we remind him, Jesus' blood has already covered that sin. There's no regrets can hold us back. Look at letter B. There's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. David goes on here. Look at verse 19. By the way, just a reminder, this is the same word where we talked about God looking upon and knowing with complete understanding. Verse 19. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me. There's no reason to be afraid. David finds himself surrounded by enemies. You might say, and David experienced some of this, trapped in a cave of despair. Trapped in a cave of despair with the enemy all on the outsides of the cave, making him feel very much alone. You say, well, what are some of the enemies that David might be talking about here? Some of the enemies that are just surrounding him. Well, could have been the Philistines. Could have been Saul. It could have been the betrayal. It could have been unconfessed sin. It could have been anxiety. You put a label on it. Whatever the struggles were that David was going through, some of those were making him feel like they were enemies and he was under attack. Perhaps fear itself is the greatest enemy that we face in today's world. Fear itself. Now, what are we afraid of today? Well, you know the number one fear of those that were polled in a particular survey not too long ago? You know what a lot of people are afraid of today? The outcome of the election. A lot of people are afraid. Not sure what side you're on today, and I know what side I'm on, but I'm not sure what side you are on. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of stress out there about, well, who is going to win the election? That could be one of the things you're afraid of today. Here's another one. What about this virus, this pandemic? You know, we all know people that are struggling with this, and it definitely is a reason to be concerned. How about employment or financial concerns that your family might be dealing with right now? What about riots on the streets? They are still rioting in some cities across America today. And what a shame. What a shame it is. At times like this, folks, we need to come together. We need to love each other, not be divided. We need to come together and show God's love. What about family concerns? You know, the truth is, I don't know what you're dealing with today, and I'm not sure where the fear is that comes up first when we talk about the word fear, but whatever it is, isn't it good to know that Jesus can help us through that? Jesus can provide the comfort that we need. One of the greatest psalms that was ever written, I think you'll probably agree with me, is Psalm 23. Psalm 23 and verse 5, here's what David says about God. Verse 5, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." Notice David didn't say, "God, you take all my enemies away from me. They never show their faces up in my life anymore because you're with me." You know what God says? Yes, David, your enemies are still out there. And sometimes it might feel like you're surrounded by them. But here's what I'm going to do for you, David. I'm going to literally sit down and have fellowship with you while the world might be raging around us as Christians. Don't you know God does that for us too? He gives us His peace in the middle of the storm. We don't have to be afraid. Instead, just draw closer to Jesus and be embraced by that peace. Don't be trapped in the house or the cave of loneliness. You know why, church? Because God is with you. God is with you if you're a child of God, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian today, God is with you. You know what we need to do today? We need to tear down the walls of isolation by living and serving. Here's a couple of ways you can do this. I shared some of this advice with somebody on the phone this week that I had a phone call with that was just feeling extremely lonely and isolated. Here's what I said. Take a walk outside. Sit on your front porch. Enjoy the sunshine. You know, sometimes, now today we might not be able to go everywhere with the pandemic, but you know where we can go? We can go outside on the front porch. We could take a walk and just enjoy the sunshine. Get out of the house. Feel good. Here's something else we can do that'll definitely help with escaping loneliness. We can write a note or a card to encourage somebody else. You could do that from your very own living room or the kitchen table. Write a note or a card to encourage somebody. Here's something else we can all do. Make a phone call. In some cases, we can enjoy fellowship. We can do it carefully. We can do it with the right reason, but we can enjoy some fellowship on occasion. And here's the most important thing. We can serve somebody else. You'd be amazed. Sometimes loneliness usually will result in self-focus, right? You've been there. I've been there before. We feel like we're all alone. Nobody understands. You know what we do, church? We withdraw. We withdraw into ourself. And sometimes it can just be overwhelming, but literally we get narrow vision and we start thinking about all our problems and all our worries and all the things that are weighing heavy on our shoulder. You know how to break free from that? Is by serving somebody else. Sometimes, and I know it's hard. I know it's hard, especially when you feel like the weight of the world is on you, but serving actually can set you free from loneliness and despair and all the things that we're talking about today. So you know what? Volunteer. Help out. Write a letter. Write a card. Make a phone call. Those are all things that will help break the chains of loneliness in our life. Crying out in the midst of the storm, claiming every promise of life. Look at number three, clinging to the hope that never fails. Clinging to the hope that never fails, verses 20 and 21. Letter A, safe in the shelter that He provides. We can be safe in the shelter that God provides. Crying out to God to save him. He's saying, God, don't let me be put to shame. David's saying, God, I want to finish well. I want to stay on the right track. Right now, I just feel like I'm overwhelmed with loneliness and despair and anxiety. But Lord, don't let this end in shame. Don't let my life end in defeat, disgrace. I don't want to give up and I don't want to quit. That's basically what David was saying to God. You know, in a verse in the same chapter we're looking at right now, Psalm 25, go back to verse 3 with me for just a moment. In verse 3, here's what it says in the first part of it. No one whose hope is in you, what does it say? Will ever be put to shame. You know what, church? If we don't want to end in shame, if we don't want to end in despair or give up or quit, you know what we need to do? We need to put our hope in God. We need to put our trust and our faith in God. The psalmist still had hope. See through the clouds of despair and see through the eyes of faith. In another psalm, I believe it was written by David as well, in Psalm 46, verse 1, here's what it says. God is our refuge and our strength. And you know the last part, don't you? An ever-present help in trouble. You know what? That's the God I serve. That's the God that I serve that is here with His arms open wide. And when it gets a little rough out there, you know what I can do? You know what you can do? We can run to God. We can run to God because He's an ever-present help in trouble. We can run to Him knowing that He cares for us. Not only cares, but He also is powerful enough and wonderful enough to help us no matter what we're going through. Did you ever fly on an airplane? It may have been quite some time. Usually, I typically fly on an airplane maybe once a year, but it's been a while now with everything that we're going through. All right? But did you ever fly on an airplane on a rainy day? If you haven't, I'll tell you what, I hope you get the opportunity. Because if you have, you know where I'm going with this morning. Sometimes at the airport and when you're getting on that airplane, you could look outside and it's cloudy, it's overcast, it's dark, and the rain is coming down. Once you hop on that airplane, you know what happens, don't you? You go there and the first thing the pilot's going to do, if he can, is take that airplane to a height, an elevation, where he can get above the storm, where it's nice, smooth air up above the storm. And you know an amazing thing happens? You know what happens? The sun comes out. Now, here's something I want to remind you of. The sun has always been out. It's just that sometimes life can be so difficult. Sometimes we can just feel like we're all alone and we're in despair. And sometimes we have a hard time seeing the sun. I want to let you know today, the sun is out. The sun is out in our world today, and God is on the throne. Don't be in despair. Sometimes we just have to see through the eyes of faith. To know that it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. God has a plan and a purpose. We could be safe in the shelter that God provides. And finally this morning, look at the last point, letter B. The shepherd reminds us and tells us to follow him. Following Jesus is where it's at. He reminds us to follow him. The greatest recipe for escaping loneliness, you know it. I know it. It's walking with our Savior. Walking with our Savior is the greatest recipe. The psalmist describes this as the path of integrity and uprightness. And you know what? If you follow Jesus and you walk with Him, it's going to result in integrity and uprightness. He's describing here an intimate relationship. When he says that we're supposed to walk with Jesus, it describes the fact that, yes, we walk with Him, but we also learn from Him and we obey Him. In other words, it's talking about a close, intimate fellowship with God. David cries out. Look at verse 22. He says, "Redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles." He uses the word redeem there. That's a word that most Christians are somewhat familiar with. Here's what it means. It means that the Lord would pay a price to set me free. Redeem means that literally you're on the auction block of slavery, and God, somebody pays a price to set you free from that place of slavery. You know what, church? Jesus paid that price for us. He redeemed us for all of our sin. God did pay that price. He laid down his life. He gave his very life on the cross of Calvary so that we could be called his son or his daughter. Isn't that amazing that God would love us enough, as imperfect as we are and all our imperfections and struggles? God loved you and me enough to literally die in our place on that cross for one reason, so that we could be invited to be a part of his family. And once you become a family member of God, here's the good news: he never lets you go. You're safe and secure in the hand of the Father. Jesus says we've got that assurance if you've got that solid, true, saving relationship with Christ. Trust him and keep looking up. Trust him and keep looking up. Let me close with verse 1 of Psalm 25. Here's what it says. David begins this psalm that we're talking about today. "To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. In you I trust, O my God." David was trusting God, and we should too. Three things before I let you go and before we have an invitation time this morning. The first one: if you're dealing with loneliness today, and I think we all are to one degree or another, here's three things that we can do if you're struggling with loneliness today. The first one, and yes, the most important one: call out to Jesus. Ask him for forgiveness and help, just like David did. Here's the good news, church family. Jesus doesn't believe in social distancing. He'll come right up to you and give you a big hug and welcome you to be part of the family, right? He is always available. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, I will guarantee something about your life: you are lonely. Because without a relationship with Christ, we're all lonely. But with a relationship with Christ, yes, there'll still be times that we feel like we're alone, but here's the good news: you're not. You're not, because God is with you if you know him as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know him, ask him for his forgiveness. Ask him for his grace today, and he will welcome you to be part of his family. Number two, when we're in the midst of the struggles, cling to every promise that Jesus has made. Cling to every promise that Jesus has made. Here's the good news, church. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It means he'll never let you go. You can trust what God says in his word. Cling to those promises. Whatever it says in the word of God, you can count on it. And thirdly, one great cure for loneliness is helping somebody else. By the way, it sounds kind of like what Christians are supposed to do anyway. A great cure for loneliness is helping somebody else. Here's a question for you. Who can you encourage? Who can you show love to? Who can you lift up? And who can you help today? You'll be surprised how good it makes you feel inside when sometimes we get in this little cocoon, don't we? And we feel like nobody cares and nobody's there for us and we're all by ourselves. You know what the cure is? Help somebody. Show Christian love to somebody. Make a call, write a card, do something to help somebody, and you'll be amazed how good it makes you feel. Right? Amen? I don't know if I got any amens today. All right. I got some nods anyway. I hope you're amening at home. All right? But let's have a time of invitation. We don't have to be lonely today. We don't have to be lonely. God wants to break that chain of loneliness in your life. How does it happen? You got to run to him. Run to him. Be embraced by his love. Cling to his promises and you'll never feel lonely. Let me pray with you before we have a time of invitation. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is perfect and powerful. Thank you, Lord, that you are always with us. Lord, we know that in today's world, there are so many people that are struggling, so many people that might feel empty on the inside or lonely. Lord, help us to run to you. Help us to run to you and to cling to your promises. Help us, Lord, to be just embraced by your presence in a wonderful way. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take this loneliness and just fill it, Lord, with your presence instead. Lord, if there be one that's listening today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, let today be the day of salvation. Lord, for the rest of us, I pray, Lord, that we could break the chains of loneliness by reaching out with your love. Help us, Lord, to love each other the way that you loved us. Lord, do a work in our hearts today. Help us, Lord, not to be lonely, not to be afraid, but fill us with your peace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whatever the need is in your life today, God can meet that need for you. Just listen to the music play through, and whatever decision you need to make, just ask God to meet that need in your life.